credit card bills. It's so easy to buy. It's so easy to get a new person on staff. Those things are the costs are ballooning, as we know. Even in September, we were reporting 18% increases in expenses, but only a 12% increase in revenue. And at that time, I reported this is big, big trouble. Big, big trouble. We have to wake up and understand that with the way that this foundation is going today, it is going south. We have to understand we're going in the wrong direction financially. So I don't mean to raise my voice there. I just wanted to make the point that we all understand that we have to take action to, in my view, change the direction that we've been heading in over the few months. I think Lonnie has made some excellent, and the business managers and the general managers really would like to thank them and acknowledge their hard work and support. They've done a heck of a job over the last 2 months in dealing with this situation, and we still have a long way to go over the next few months. But the steps that we're proposing we think are prudent, are first steps, and are necessary.
Okay, I have on the list Teresa, David, and Carol, and it's going on 9 o'clock East Coast time, which means that we've been on the call.
I'm sorry.
Right? When you put us on hold, we get music.
I see. I apologize.
So it's not WBAI.
Right. Hit the,
it's WNBI, our labor show.
Hit the mute button if you need to, but don't put us on hold.
Okay.
Or you could hang up and redial in.
Whatever.
Okay.
Teresa, David, Carol.
Okay. I want to clarify something. Dan, when you say that Central has cut staff, or has cut 200,000 from 18 months ago, is that a result of the fact that we have no personnel director now, or no HR person? We have no program director. And we also have no news department. Now, when we use FSRN, they are contractors, right, rather than employees. So we've saved money that way. Is that correct?
Yes.
So when you say we've saved about $200,000, those are the three things that, when it comes to staff.
Yeah, that's basically, you know, we shut down our whole Pacifica National programming unit last February. I think there may have been about 17 positions or so that we eliminated. I don't have the number right off the top of my head.
That was 2 years ago, Dan.
That was 2 years ago.
Almost.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Teresa. That's the majority of the savings. We reorganized the KU satellite service as well.
Okay. So is KU less expensive now than it was 2 years ago?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Largely due to, you know, the support and of KPFA.
All right, great. Okay. I would encourage all the national board members to look at those 4 points, the four items where he meant, where Lonnie, the four top items in cutting back: Democracy Now!, insurance, legal, and national board. And I'll try to do what I can to reduce cost of national board. And I don't know, maybe we should have some special sessions on that. And maybe you ought to find a less expensive conference call that you're using right now, as I have suggested several times. I also think that we ought to remember
just so you know, this is a different system, and it is less expensive.
Okay. I won't even quote how much it costs on the air. What I'm thinking is that we need to consider that we are a volunteer organization, and when we can find a volunteer to do something rather than a staff member, that we need to seriously consider it. And I had not really considered the trend toward hiring, even at my own station, until my attention was called to it by Lonnie and Dan. I mean, just in this general situation, we had been picking up employees. And that's something everybody needs to consider. Like, we don't have any employees right now that are paid to be on the air, other than our news department, right now because, I mean, they need the technical stuff. But Dwayne said many months ago, he said, you know, I don't have to pay anybody to play music because they're begging me to get on the air and play music, and people are begging for shows. I personally know of some programs at WBAI that are great, and people are not paid to run them. So just a thought.
Okay, David?
Yeah, you know, it's ironic that the prior regime was centralizing and using fewer volunteers and getting less in community resources in terms of involving itself with community organizations and so forth. And yet it had plenty of money, largely because it was aiming its programming at, you know, where the money was. But that we, you know, with the aim to enhance community involvement, have actually increased paid staffing levels throughout the network, except, you know, perhaps the national office, which apparently has been, you know, pretty much reduced in staffing numbers. So we need staff. You know, but what tasks? I mean, as a board, albeit an interim board, and we've been here longer than we're supposed to be, and so we're actually dealing with policy issues that really should not have been on our table. It should be in front of elected boards. But in any event, we need to help develop policy that guides the reaction to shortfalls and layoffs, because, you know, layoffs are going to be needed. We can talk about whether they're fair or nice or good, but, you know, we got no money. There's certain costs we can cut and certain costs we cannot. And if, as it appears, layoffs are needed, we should plan and not just say, okay, well, we're out of money now, I've got to lay everybody off. No, we got to plan and define staffing policies so that we can do it proactively on our own terms, our own timing, and also so we're not vulnerable to legitimate arguments about how that affects the union and union jobs and standing. Because you can't just bring a volunteer in to cover somebody's job, you know, because all of a sudden there's an opening and there's a volunteer. I mean, it needs to be done by planning. And another issue I'd like to make is...
I wasn't saying that. I'm sorry.
I wasn't saying that you were.
Okay.
But there's issues that need to be, you know, taken into account. And another issue is raised by a point that Lonnie made, that donors are more giving to programs rather than to the foundation. And this is all leading to what I think is something of a solution, at least in sort of a general sense. To me, it's more important aspect. Why are people giving money? You know, is it because, you know, they're giving it to support the mission, or because they like that show? And whether a program is a moneymaker or not is not so important to me as it is whether or not the program promotes the mission, promotes Pacifica in the context of the mission, and thereby promotes people to support Pacifica in general. And I think that while one program might promote itself and say it's great, that's fine. It might also note that, look, there are these other programs that may not make a lot of money because they're aimed at sectors that may not be giving us a lot of money, listeners and so forth, but that as a good point and a reason why I should support Pacifica, because there's a program I might not listen to, but because I recognize it's an important program. Now, it's not a cable company, and people sometimes say that. Well, I paid for this show, and I didn't get that show, and I was ripped off. Well, nonsense. You're paying to promote the maintenance of an infrastructure to allow voice. It's, you know, otherwise, it's just a selfish thing. And I think that we can really benefit from having programs promoting the mission. And, you know, with the elections coming up, or in front of us, really, how we might consider how to exploit the fact of the elections to generate awareness and interest and then funding. And I think that if we can somehow compel or persuade or you know, cajole the programmers at working more towards that, and again, in a sort of a general sort of solution, but I think if we just change some of the focus of programming into really promoting the mission, not just by saying, well, we're promoting the mission because we're talking about X topic, but talking about the mission and really getting people more aware of the mission in Pacifica. And I think if we focused on that, I know that it would compromise our current programming grid because, you know, someone wants to listen to a given music show or a given labor show or something like that. But I think if we could really focus the programmers into promoting Pacifica, it should create more awareness both around the elections, stimulating awareness of that, as well as, I think, in the terms of funding. You know, that and layoffs. I mean, you know, we got to deal with those policies of how we do that. And using volunteers, I think, is really key to, not to say that we totally replace ourselves, you know, with replace staff with volunteers, but we really expand our use of volunteers and focus our staff on maintaining an environment in which volunteers can can operate.
Yeah.
Okay, Carol.
Okay, I have a couple of points. I'm 100% in support of Lonnie and Dan telling us that we absolutely have to accumulate some reserves. As Lonnie has pointed out, if we don't, then we can't borrow money. We can't cover shortfalls when they happen. We are on the brink of bankruptcy if we don't have reserves. At any given moment, some catastrophe happens, and we're on the brink of bankruptcy. You can't operate. We cannot operate that way. So painful as it is, I support it. It's painful at KPFA. I know it's painful everywhere. Second point, in looking at how to generate revenues, we were founded on the premise of listener-sponsored radio, and we've lived on that primarily for about 50 years, 54, although about 15% of our money comes from the CPB. About 85% of it comes from listener support. And what that does for us is it provides us with editorial freedoms that nobody else has. So it allows us to say things and air views and ideas that are not mainstream and can get really quite far out there. We do, though, have to, I believe, understand that if the listeners don't support what we're doing, we're off the air. And so, you know, we've got to find the right balance there. There's another thing that kind of echoes what Dave was saying, which is I actually did an analysis of the programs at KPFA and which raised money, how much per hour, average over the past year, and noted some interesting things, which I would like to share with you. Over the past decade, the wisdom, received wisdom at Pacifica, was that strip programming was the way to go, that you could raise the most money by producing daily programs where, you know, the same host and the same format at the same time. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That you could produce the raise the most money with strip programs, that those programs build the largest audience. But those are also the most expensive to produce, because when you have a program where it's on once a week, a volunteer can do that. It's not a full-time job. But if you're producing a daily program, it is a full-time job, and you have to become an employee, and you have to have staff and associate producers and so forth. So strip programs are more expensive to produce, and the question is, do they really raise more money per hour? And I looked at that, and I found that some of them do. Democracy Now! Does. Flashpoints at KPFA does. And some of them don't. And that there are a lot of programs that are on weekly, not daily, that are produced by volunteers and are thus very inexpensive to produce, and are of extreme high quality because the person isn't trying to put out a daily program, that get as much listener support or more per hour than the strip programs do. So I'm putting this out as information for people to look at. Now, I don't think KPFT or WPFW actually have strip programs locally produced. But I'm putting this out for the information of KPFK and WPFW because it was quite fascinating to see at WBA, at KPFA. And that leads to Lonnie's suggestion that we look at all of our programs and see what's producing money and what's not and whether it's self-sufficient. And most of the programs don't cost us anything. Most of our programming is produced by volunteers. So I think we really need to look at our strip programs carefully, very carefully, to see whether they're doing what they're supposed to do, which is building audiences that love the program and feel connected to the mission and are raising enough money to help cover expenses.
Carol, this is Dan. Could I just riff off that just briefly? Because what that work that you're talking about doing is what informed the resolution that we were putting on the table around programming having as one of their goals to be financially self-sustaining, which, of course, that language, as you may recollect, is actually from the Pacifica mission statement around self-sufficiency or being self-sustaining. But exactly that exercise would be very useful, I think, for the board to be replicated around the Pacifica Radio Network to do that analysis as a start.
I think it's a useful analysis, but I think we have to be very cautious about it.
Right, I understand
that.
Because
there are some programs that are extremely valuable that don't raise much money. For instance, at KPFA, we've got Hard Knock Radio. And that's on, it's a daily program. It's a hip-hop culture and politics program. And people love it. I hear about it all the time, and I don't know why it doesn't raise money, but it doesn't. But it's really helping us to build a youth audience that we really need. So, you know, I'm just saying we need to be very cautious about it.
Yeah, and we have the same problem and the same issue at PFW as well.
Mm-hmm. So you do have to grow your future audience. That is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a balance.
And then let me just also say that there's the flip side of the problem, too, that there may be some shows that generate a lot of money, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily the best, you know, the fullest articulation of the mission.
Precisely so. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, true.
Can you give some examples of who that might be?
Well, I'd rather not right now.
I'm really curious.
We're on the air, Janice. Is kind
of say theoretically.
Leslie, could I take the sense that will we have a vote on this budget tonight?
Well, that's what we have to get back to right now. We have four resolutions from Dan and Lonnie, and we have the budgets. On the budgets, there was serious concern raised, especially about the national budget, that we don't have enough information to make a full enough, informed enough decision as to whether or not to pass it, and that therefore we should have an executive session as soon as possible. So I need to sort of get a read from people here. You know, is there agreement on that? Are people prepared to vote on the budgets? Can we vote on all the budgets except the national budget, or should we take them as a whole? You know, I'm a little confused about how to move on the budget. So, and then we have the four resolutions also.
Leslie, is there a stack yet? Continuing set? This is Lydia. I'd like to...
There's a can stack to speak to that question that I just raised.
Okay, I want to speak to the fact that before proceeding with the budget, I think that it's very important to have the five general managers participate in the telephone conference call that I received.
Speak up, Lydia.
Before, I think
right.
that's specifically relevant to the budget. We really need a more accurate picture. This is, I think that there is a divergent views here as to where we really are. And
right.
I really think we need to hear it's who's going to have the greatest impact are the stations, so we need to hear from them.
Right. So that's another reason to not vote on the budget tonight.
Well, this is Teresa. I'd like to say something.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. I think that our general manager communicates with us very well, and I take the time to ask questions of him, and I'm assuming that the other national board members can. I just don't see how adding another five people to the conference call is really going to help, especially since, I mean, there is nothing to stop us as national board members from getting the information. In fact, I would recommend that that our national board people make appointments and go together and sit down with the station managers and talk about these problems.
Well, may I respond?
Yes, yep. But let's let Adrian respond. But then I need to hear from Dan and Lonnie about the timing on voting on the budget.
But one thing I would have to point out, though, is that the budget is the authorization for national staff to spend money as well as the stations. That is the authorization. Without it, there is no authorization to spend funds. So, you know, both for the stations and the national, maybe what we can do, if I would suggest, is we get a continuing resolution for another 45 days or whatever we need to do. But our 45 days were up from the last. We had a budget that was
right
only for those 45 days.
Yeah.
Right. I want to weigh in after AC.
Just,
okay, so we have AC. Okay, I'm sorry, Dan, did you want to answer that?
Yeah, Leslie, I would just add, you know, we are facing a situation in the foundation where every day that goes by, we are bleeding or hemorrhaging. And I think we need to take action on these budgets, preferably tonight, at least to pass the budgets. Perhaps the resolutions can't be dealt with today and may have to be discussed at a later time. But to pass the budgets is a goal that we set back in September, and we'd like to see if we can resolve it tonight.
Okay. Well, I had AC and then Carol.
Well, I think in view of what Leslie had said and what Lydia had raised, that Dan, is there any reason why that can't wait a week? That's one question I want to know.
Well, I would respond with another question, which is I'm not so sure I understand the problem around information in the general managers.
Well, I think someone has mentioned, or you have mentioned, a continuous resolution. That may be something that we could pass, seems to me. But but as far as the ratification of the budget, it seems to me that doesn't have to be done today, right? I mean, is that a necessity that it has to be done today?
What I heard Lonnie say was we need to do something. Either we need to pass the budget for the year, or we need to pass a budget, you know, on a provisional basis. In other words, a continuous.
Right.
Right. So
I
we
can
need
support
to do
a provisional basis, yeah, since he said he has a deadline on that. I think they have to be able to spend money. I mean,
okay, and what I think I heard from Lydia, if I might, Lydia, try to interpret this, mm-hmm. is that and I'm not saying everybody on the board agrees with it, mm-hmm. Teresa obviously didn't, mm-hmm. but what I think the point about the general managers is that people want to know that if we're going to pass budgets that reflect some serious cuts in the budgets for these stations, that they want to hear from the general managers that they're on board with that also.
That's right.
Leslie.
That's my issue.
Okay, I'm sorry. Carol was next.
I just wanted to support Lydia's proposal.
Okay, Carol was next, and then Ray.
Well, I've been in close communication with Gus and our business manager, and I'm pretty familiar with what's going on at KPFA. What I'm not familiar with is the national, what these cuts are and their impact at the national level. And so that's where my problem is. I understand that without a budget, you're not authorized to spend money, and that's not a good situation. So what I would feel most comfortable with would be getting the information we requested about what positions we are funding at the national level and what positions have been cut, and perhaps a memo about what further positions might be cut if things don't work out well in January, in the next couple of days.
Right.
And that if we had that, today's Monday, if we had that, say, by Wednesday, that we could meet again on Friday to vote on the budget. But I'm not comfortable voting on the budget without that information, which is bothering me a great deal.
Well, I have to tell you all that, you know, we are meeting, scheduled to meet on December 1st at WBAI, and to begin implementing very real possibility of on Monday implementing what we're calling our core recovery plan at WBAI.
Right.
Decisions have to be made every day. Time is of the essence. We are in a race against time, as we've, you know, mentioned to people before, all around the system.
Right.
So from our perspective, you know, if there are some substantial, strategic, or major problems that have been identified with these budgets that we've presented, then I would be supportive of a change and obviously wouldn't want the board to pass budgets that they don't feel comfortable with. However, if there's some issues that can be resolved in a different way, like I suggested, I know your concerns about the salary issues, getting individual salary information.
I don't think
that could be tabled, and
all.
We could discuss that on a separate executive conference call. That would be fine. But from our perspective, I need to make decisions. We need to move forward with various things. So it would be preferable for me to have these budgets passed. If the board doesn't feel comfortable with it, you know, then I wouldn't recommend you pass it. But at this point, I'm not so sure that a delay would be that there's such a cause for concern to justify the delay. But
okay, I have Ray next.
Basically, I agree with what Carol said. I'm looking at the picture at WBA particularly. I remember that when we met in September in Manhattan, when it came to pass, when there was a proposal from you, Dan, and Lonnie to have the 1 month reserve, the first thing I asked is, what is the position of the managers on this, the station managers? And to me, if I had the chance, it was the discussion allowed it. I'd like to hear also what some of the workers in the union had to say, because they'll be impacted upon. So basically, what we're saying here then is that there are elements of the budget that clearly impact on other issues, including layoff at WBAI and other major decisions to be taken. And I personally would like to have a clear idea of what how this will work together.
Yeah, but what are those ideas? Because I haven't, we put out the budgets for 3 months since mid-September, and apart from maybe one or two minor, relatively minor issues, or at least maybe one issue of concern that Carol's brought up, I haven't heard anything from any board members, even from last week's phone call and informal briefing, which was designed last week to elicit any concerns that the board had about the budget, to deal with them back a week ago or this week so that we could pass these budgets today. I don't want to ask you guys to pass a budget that you're not feeling comfortable with, but we've set this thing up. We've had a lot of communication, information, et cetera, over the last 2 or 3 months since whenever, or even going back to April when the budgeting process began. So it would be helpful for us, given the timelines and the deadlines that we're working with, to move forward and authorize the budget today. I think if you need to meet, I'm not so sure, Ray, how helpful it would be for the board in making a decision to talk with union people or general managers or other constituencies within the Pacifica system. You know, that would maybe complicate matters or certainly add to the timeliness issue. And I want to underscore again to you all today, I mean, if you don't feel you have the right information or the ability to make a decision, you know, by all means, it's critical that you all feel comfortable that you have the right information. Obviously, the ED, you know, the CFO and I have presented to you a situation that is dire and that we feel requires speedy action on your part. But I think from any, you know, I haven't heard issues coming up today that couldn't be dealt with even if you just pass this budget or even pass it provisionally, or we could come back in 45 days and take a look at it, that would be fine.
We don't have a stack yet. I would like to say something and then see who else wants to.
Leslie, I wasn't quite finished yet. Then, for example, I know that Carol had raised a question about salaries. I tuned in about 20 minutes late, so I don't know if that was discussed or if it was decided that we would leave it alone. Not that you would have discussed this on the air. I know that, for example, that you had mentioned that there had been $100,000 cuts on the national level, or national budget, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, the revenue is actually reduced by 3 times that, Ray. It's we're doing the same thing you folks at WBI are doing, figuring out our budget, how we'll get through the fiscal, and at the same time anticipating even maybe some more issues coming up as well.
So did you cover that before I got on? Is that what the problem is? I'm not too sure what the $100,000 was, because I know it was in the letter.
I'm sorry, Ray. It's going to be very hard to repeat. to go back and repeat stuff that was discussed during the course of the conversation here. You know, I know it's sad. Obviously, you need the information, but it's going to be hard because you missed some of the call. You know, we can't repeat the whole meeting again.
I agree.
I agree. I want to get in the stack after you, Leslie.
This is
okay.
Well, is there a stack? This is Lydia. I want to. I have a timeline proposal.
Okay. I have myself, Carol, Teresa, Lydia. I wanted to suggest that we. Let me just preface it by saying I don't feel great about any of the options that we have here. I certainly don't feel terrific about the notion of not passing anything and, in effect, bringing the financial operations of the foundation to a halt. If we don't authorize the spending of money, then no money can be spent. So given the situation we're in, I think that the best way to proceed would be to pass these budgets provisionally with a commitment to, and I don't, we have to look at the exact date, but in 6 weeks probably, and I only say 6 weeks and not a month because the holidays are upon us, but maybe we could do it in a month's time, that we reconvene having gotten from the office updated, revised budgets, whatever changes need to be made. That we immediately, though, and if we can do it on Friday, as Carol suggests, I think would make sense, have convene in executive session to review in more detail the situation at the national office, particularly in relation to staffing. What are the areas of work that this board has indicated it would like to have done that are not going to get done because we don't have the wherewithal to hire staff to do them, or, you know, where we are with all staffing situation. And that basically be how we proceed at this point. We did an executive session. Whatever information and insights we get out of that, you know, will inform how we would act when we reconvene in, let's say, a month to 6 weeks. We can figure out the date if we agree on this general timeline. Okay, I have Carol, and then Teresa and Lydia.
Well, Leslie, I'm in pretty fair agreement with you. I am at a point where I could provisionally pass all the budgets except the national office budget. The national office budget, I'm not willing to vote on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we could get in writing the information we need in the next couple of days and review that in executive session by Friday, then I would be comfortable. And I understand the urgency. I feel the urgency certainly as much as anyone else does. I do not want to be bankrupt in January. And that's my major concern. And I believe Lonnie and Dan that we could be bankrupt in January.
Functionally bankrupt.
Functionally bankrupt.
Actually.
Yeah, we should be careful with that word.
You do not have enough cash to pay your outstanding current obligations.
Function.
That's functional bankruptcy. And I don't want to be there.
Could I make one suggestion, Carol?
Yes.
To add to it? You know, if we're going to do the executive session, let's have an agenda that will make a difference for the big problems as well. Okay?
That will what?
To make a difference for that big issue as well.
Right.
I feel we must.
For what big issue?
That issue of being functionally bankrupt in January.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we can't ignore it. It's the elephant in the room. Whatever we deal with, let's at least come out of there with a sense of what we need to do about those big issues. At least one. And maybe we won't come up with an answer, but at least have it on the agenda.
Well, yes, we can have it on the agenda, but what I'm hearing from Carol is that there is no agenda. I don't know if I'm hearing it from Carol, or just I'm hearing it in my own head, right? There is no agenda if we don't get the information that we need. And
well, that's what we're going to be doing, I'm assuming.
Okay.
That we'll get the information out, but the point of the information is to tackle the large problem.
That's right. So
right.
What I'm trying to be clear about is I'm prepared to approve the budget with the exception of the national office budget. And I'm prepared to pass any resolution needed to go forward and tackle the situation at WBAI.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Okay, so we have Teresa and then Lydia.
I lost my train of thought. Can I go after Lydia?
Yes,
of
course.
Is that okay, Lydia?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
yes, I would still like to have the input from the general managers. There are the specific positions that are being challenged here that might be where there might be other layoffs at other stations. We really need to get their input. They're the ones that work with the staff day in and day out. That could be at the same executive session. It could be right before because you're going to be discussing personnel, so it would be appropriate. And perhaps listen to them first and then continue with the meeting for the sake of, in the interest of time, and do this on Friday. That would be fine.
Lydia, what is the concern?
The concern is that you don't work at a station. The concern is that neither you or Lonnie know the ins and outs of what a board operator or how critical that person is to a station or whatever, and yet there are cuts that you are asking the general managers to make and not necessarily at their discretion. That's number one. Number two, there's already been a difference into the perception of what I believe was not a horrible fund drive for, let's say, KPFK. I can only speak for KPFK. I really don't know the ins and outs other than what you have told me. And so I think that that when you're talking about a budget, which is simply a projection, but you're laying people off based on a perception of yours and Lonnie, that I'm not saying it's not valid. I mean, I absolutely think we should have a reserve, all of these things. But nevertheless, because it's so critical, because you're talking about layoffs, is that I think it's really important to have the station managers there. What kind of fundraisers do you have in mind? Do they have any ideas? If they don't, maybe we can share them. As a board, as a national board, this board has not functioned as a board to raise money for the national office either. You know, that's another issue we can deal with later. But the because it's so critical, because we didn't realize how critical it would be, and it's all based on one soft fund drive, then I think it's imperative to have the general managers on the line, even if it's, you know, just for an hour, just to ask questions. We can prepare ahead of time and then continue with our meeting and pass the budget.
I do want to say I'm not denigrating KPFK in any way and did not mean to suggest that they're to make any impugn anybody's integrity or the station staff. Quite the contrary, we've worked very closely with all the stations and tremendously thankful and grateful for all the station's work and support from the East Coast to the West Coast. So I want to be sure that's clearly understood. But again, I'm not so sure I hear the specific concern hasn't been articulated to me via the general managers or business managers at the station that we work very closely with every day on these matters. Certainly it also seems to be something that prefigures, indeed, prefigures, I guess, what's coming up with the bylaws around what kind of organizational integrity and hierarchy we have at Pacifica and how the Pacifica board operates as a policy board with one employee, that is the executive director. So those are, I think, also important questions to understand and also to respect going forward in the short term as far as decision-making is concerned over the next couple of months. I'm not so sure that's going to be particularly helpful. But, you know, if there's private or individual concerns about an individual station, more than happy to take it up with a general manager who can communicate those concerns directly to me or to Lonnie about the finances of their particular station. But what we don't want to get into, I don't think, is, you know, picking and choosing from the cupboard about, you know, a board getting involved in that kind of level of micro management.
Well, but the
okay,
whole point
we
is
have
that the whole board
it.
Has to
Folks,
go
wait,
on
Lydia,
the other stations.
Lydia, we'll come back to this question.
Well, let Lydia finish her question.
Okay, the question, the issue, Dan, is, for example, just in the same way that you brought the business of one station to the national board of WBAI, the majority of the board that is voting on a budget for all of the stations are not privy to the ins and outs of the other stations, and I'm not suggesting. I mean, they may have nothing to say. They might be on the phone 5 minutes and say, "No, no, we totally agree with everything," and "No, we have no fundraising ideas." I have no idea. I'm just saying, give us the opportunity to ask questions that we might have of them, since as a board we're going to be voting on an entire budget for all of the stations, not just the ones that in our particular signal area.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Teresa's next.
All right.
And then Carol, and it's now 9:34. I'm exhausted. You know, it's late on the East Coast.
Well, I agree to some degree with Carol's proposal. I think we have to hold Dan accountable for his hiring practices on the national and for his selection of GMs. I think we have to hold the GMs accountable for their decision making, whether it's staff or contracts or whatever. And we as a national board have to be accountable for some of the mistakes and decisions that we've done. For example, in September, I asked the national board to limit our expenditures for any expenditures over a certain amount, mm-hmm. over $2,500, I think it was, that we get permission or that we get together, and we didn't do that. And we I don't know, you all know how you voted. I know distinctly that Carol was in support of that motion, and so we have to hold ourselves responsible. I'm going to hold GMs responsible, and I think we most through Dan. My point is, I'm in support of Carol's motion as soon as possible after I think the December 1st. And I think if you want to get with GMs, why not have a meeting, a telephone conference with your national board members and your GM and Dan and Lonnie, for example. I'm not sure how that could be controlled and helpful. And to me, that it is some sort of open-ended agenda that I think would not be that fruitful.
Okay, folks, let me try and suggest that there are several items before us that we need to make some decisions on now, if we can, and that they are distinct and separate items, and yes, they are related to each other, but let's try and take them one at a time. One item is the convening of an executive session, and I've heard nobody speak against this, so I'm assuming there's agreement on this, but someone should speak up now if they don't agree. But convening of an executive session as soon as possible, aiming for this coming Friday, which is, you know, during the holiday weekend, but this coming Friday, based on having received before then information from Lonnie and Dan about the national budget, more details on the national budget, specifically around staffing, and that we would look at that and look at the functional bankruptcy issue. Is there any opposition to convening such an executive session?
This is Teresa. I would like to say something. I will be visiting family,
mm-hmm.
And if we want to go for a walk to walk off our Thanksgiving dinner, for example, I'd like to not to have to say, well, I'm sorry, I can't go. So I'd rather.
We weren't doing it on Thursday, were we?
No, the proposal was to do it on Friday. But maybe that's when Teresa's family has their Thanksgiving dinner. Who knows?
The point is, if we have that, I'd like it to be early in the morning. So I would have the rest of the day so that I can be away from the telephone.
Now, how about Saturday or Sunday? Friday's not good for me either.
That's fine with me. Saturday is fine.
Okay. For those people who are on this call, is Saturday okay? That would be Saturday, November 29th.
Yeah, what time?
What time? Because
what time?
We have a
12 o'clock Eastern
candidate thing going on.
How's 12 noon East Coast time, which would make it 9 a.m. on the West Coast and 11 a.m. in Houston. Or
is there any way that it could be earlier?
Oh, my God.
Earlier? Oh,
no.
To
you guys.
I'm sorry.
Earlier
it's
than
9 a.m.
What's the top? Noon Eastern?
It's 9 Pacific. I ain't getting up that early on Saturday morning. Yeah, but I mean, not after 2 days of Thanksgiving.
No,
what the suggestion is that we do it 9 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. Houston
Central,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and 12 noon East Coast.
So I have to take all those medications before these meetings, you know, it takes a long time.
Okay, I'm for it.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Okay, and that would be executive session. The second issue that we have to resolve is whether or not we want to invite the general managers to that call.
To a
obviously,
call
What?
To a portion of it is what I...
Yes, to the beginning part of the call to get their input and their concern. That's the proposition before us, right? That's what Lydia has suggested.
I think it's a great idea because we're going to make sure, like as Lonnie said, we've got to get all the ideas we can get on the table.
I want to say that, you know, it may be difficult and they may not all be available on the holiday, but I agree with Lydia as well.
Let me just intervene 1 minute.
Wait, no, Dan, let Carol finish her sentence and then you can speak.
I was reviewing the settlement agreement that governs this board, and it says we are to get input from the Administrative Council. And the last two board meetings, we didn't even get reports from the managers. And I think at this critical time, it would be just very helpful to all of us to hear what the managers say. Because, quite frankly, as a KPFA person, I don't know what the scene is in Los Angeles or Washington or Houston. I have some information about BAI. And I just think that we would should honor Lydia's request. I think it's a good one.
Dan
wanted to say something.
Okay,
Dan, go on.
I think we have a problem. I think we have a big problem between the what the national office is recommending, what the executive director is recommending, within a context of a really severe financial crisis, and what the board is feeling and wanting to do differently. You know, there's clearly a major gulf, because the recommendations that I'm making, none of them are accepted by this board. In this critical time of the foundation.
I'm sorry, none of them are
They're not being accepted, Leslie.
We haven't gotten to them yet. That's the next agenda item.
Well, we have
our resolution.
The major thing that I'm putting on the table is passing these budgets and moving the network forward. I'm asking, I think, relatively coherently, that certain steps that I'm asking that the board take at this time, and even minor recommendations that I'm making on procedural matters, are not being listened to by the board or being acted upon the board. So what I'm seeing from my perspective is a big gulf between the national office, the executive director, and this national board. That's a big problem, because I can't run the foundation. I can't make decisions. I can't fulfill my responsibilities without the authority from the board. This is a critical time for Pacifica. I understand if you feel you want to go in a different direction as to the recommendations that are different than the recommendations from me and the national office, but that has consequences. That has consequences. Consequences in terms of the hemorrhaging, the financial hemorrhaging of the foundation, consequences into the future, how we organize the foundation, consequences around organizational integrity. It sounds like we have a bigger problem.
Leslie, put Dave on the stack.
Then simply, you know, should we meet next week and get the individual salary information and discuss that issue? Because I have some legitimate concerns about that, and so do the general managers, so do unions, so do staff. We can't proceed, I don't think, in a manner at this juncture, or I can't do my job, I don't feel, without the support of the board.
Okay, we have Teresa and then David.
Well, I agree with Dan, and I agree with Carol Spooner. And I think that we have to honor his selections as GMs, and if he feels that the GMs have not done a good job of managing and providing the budgets to him, I would imagine they worked through these issues of the budget, and he has some tough decisions to make. So more power to you, Dan.
Okay, David.
Leslie?
Yeah, I just...
David and then Ray.
Yeah, no, Dan, I don't see that this is a big gulf. I mean, I detect your frustration that the budgets are not being fully passed right now. I think that what's happening here, in my sense, in any event, in my seat, is that we want to get a little more details and really get a closer examination of what these solutions really mean. We see the budgets. How does that really play out? You're talking about layoffs. I agree. The national board should not be involved in deciding who gets laid off. But I think we are and should be involved in, with your guidance, developing a practical policy insofar as layoffs are necessary. And I don't think that there's any time in Pacifica when less communication is warranted. And I think that getting feedback from the general managers, and I detect from you, Dan, a reluctance to get into that with the general managers and everything, because it opens up a lot of other discussions that you've already had with them. And I appreciate that that's a problem, but I think, too, that the board needs a reassurance in a way that every stone has been turned over and looked at to see where there's some possible, you know, slack and solutions. So I think it should be more seen as a reinforcing thing rather than the opposite. And I certainly am fully in support of passing, you know, the executive director's recommended budgets here, so long as I understand them, and so long as we recognize that when there will be some serious policy decisions involving the elimination of some staff, insofar as that happens, that there's a real good, clear policy for the board to recognize and for you to have as a guide. And to say that it should be informed by the general managers by having them sit down with us on the phone for a little bit before another meeting, I don't think that's going to hurt. And if it is, I'd be curious as to why.
Ray?
Yeah, I mean, I would tell them that I personally have always supported you in most of your decisions, and this is no different. However, these are very important issues, and I wouldn't expect you to rubber stamp any of all positions taken by the board, and neither should we be in that position. So theoretically, when either side of the group presents a position, the assumption is that the other party might not agree or might see slightly differently. And as Dave just said, I personally feel that I do want to hear, to have a better idea of the picture on the ground before we move forward. I do agree with you that time is of the essence, and I'm willing to do it ASAP. And however, I think it is a valid decision by the board that does not reflect on the validity of your work.
Right. Well, you know, I feel, Ray, that I have a responsibility to ensure the fiscal stability of the foundation, but increasingly that the authority is not there to ensure that. And that contradiction is obviously a contradiction that Pacifica is going to have to deal with at some point, the contradiction between authority and responsibility and accountability at all levels of the foundation. I feel I've done my job today to inform each and every one of you about the seriousness of the financial situation at the network. I raised my voice about an hour ago. But let me be very clear. Pacifica is going down. It is going down. You cannot continue along this financial path, whether at BAI or KPFK, and expect to be an organization that lives next year. I, in fact, said this at the September board meeting. Lonnie has been saying the same thing. We have been writing and reporting this fact for many, many months. We have plans in place. We work very, very closely with the general managers. We have very good relations in New York where we're implementing a core recovery plan. Every day that goes by, we're losing, or every month, $118,000 or $117,000 at BAI, gone. Lonnie is saying we have until January, until you're bankrupt. You know, at some point, somebody's going to have to make the decision about what to do. So at this point, if you all want to put the situation off, you want to talk to the general managers, that's fine with me. We can do that. But I want you to know that I've done my job. Lonnie has done his job here today. We have taken responsibility for the issue. We have informed you fully about the crisis that the network is in today. And we have asked you for the authority to carry that out. If you need some more time to discuss that amongst yourselves, I'm fully supportive of that. But don't make any mistake about the seriousness of the situation that the network is finding itself into today.
Leslie, can I ask a quick question?
Can I jump in for a second? I agree. I think you and Lonnie both, starting in the September board meeting, you know, have not pulled your punches and have been very, very clear with us and with whoever was listening that the network was in, you know, serious financial trouble. That was back in September, and that the projections did not look good, and now it's worse. The situation is worse. So I think, in fact, you and Lonnie both have done the job that is to be applauded, and I thank you, you know, and I hope the whole board does, for being as clear and, you know, as clear as you've both been with the presentation of the problem that we face. I also very much agree with you that it is very, very important that the people who have certain, you know, been given certain authorities, in this case, you, Dan, as the executive director, Lonnie as the chief financial officer, and the station managers as station managers, that you all have certain authorities that you have, that certain powers that you have, that you've been given by the structure of Pacifica. And I think it's very, very important that we as a national board, as an interim national board, but nonetheless as a national board, reaffirm that structure, because that structure is the one we work with. Having said that, I don't see any problem, and maybe I'm missing something, with inviting the general managers to join us for the beginning part of the executive session on Saturday. I don't think that that means, I do think, let me put it in the affirmative, I also think that we should pass these budgets today in a provisional way, though. I would say till the middle of January, probably, beginning of January or middle of January, to get revised and updated budgets and see where we are. And then we then have to look at the four resolutions also to reaffirm your authority to make decisions, to carry out a plan, and to do the best job possible. So I don't see having the five station managers on the call on Saturday for a short amount of time as having to undermine that authority, especially if on that call we as a national board reaffirm the authority that you and Lonnie do have.
Well, can I clarify just one point?
Yes.
As of the 15th of November, we don't have the authority to spend money, nor do the station managers, I might add. No one does.
No. I said
he would pass these provisionally.
Well, let me clarify. Do that. Leslie, you're suggesting
get
it done tonight?
Yeah.
Tonight,
can
yes.
We pass, can I second your motion? We pass the provisional budget.
Well, there was the motion made.
Chair has to move it, so why don't you move it, AC, and I'll second.
I move. I so move that the provisional budget be passed for, what did you say, Lonnie, 45 days?
Oh, we need 45 days.
45 days.
A second, of course.
Okay, and that's seconded by several people. Is there anybody who wants to vote against that?
Well, I'm going to, you know, I have these reservations about the national, but I will vote for it provisionally for 45 days.
Right.
We're going to get all these briefings and all this information this week.
Yeah. Right.
So
I just want to double check. Do I need to do the roll call or is it unanimous? Is there anybody voting against this?
I think since I haven't seen it, I would abstain if you did a roll call, but I'm not against it at all.
Okay.
So it's unanimous with one abstention.
Right.
All right.
Okay. So the budgets have been passed for 45 days that we will come back to look at revised budgets, and hopefully at that point be able to pass budgets for the rest of the year, if not for whatever period of time we need to pass them for. We also agreed, let me just summarize where we are. We also agreed on Saturday we're going to have an executive session conference call. Before then, we're going to get some more information from the national staff. What we haven't decided on yet is the question of inviting the general managers. So I think at this point, because we've discussed it quite a bit, could we get a motion and then we could act on the motion?
Okay, this is Lydia, and I move that we invite the general managers for the first portion of our meeting on Saturday.
Second.
I'd like to discuss this issue. This is Teresa.
Oh, no.
I would like them to put something in writing prior to that meeting. It can be emailed to all of us so they don't actually start at the top and give us a report like the report that we were supposed to have in New York. They came
You know what? That's going to be really hard this week, especially in New York.
It's just asking questions, just any remaining questions we may have.
Well, I think it would probably be beneficial for us as a national board if they're going to have, if they're going to give us some figures to actually put them in writing.
But see, they don't even know that this is that we're even discussing this, so you know, for them to prepare ahead of time.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Can she be finished?
Sorry. I think I have a legitimate point. I'm going to be in the office of Dwayne Bradley tomorrow, and I'm going to ask him about our role, and I'm going to ask him if there's anything that's a real matter of concern to him, so I can not tie up, you know, a whole bunch of people while he's, you know, just off the top of my of his head responding to this, you know, this question.
And can you give us an idea what questions you would ask?
I'm going to ask him if he has any problems with the budget.
Teresa, are you suggesting, can I ask, you said that you wanted to suggest that we ask each of the general managers to send something in writing to us. Could we,
if they have
not do it that way, though, but that ask that at least one board member from each of the five single areas talk to the station managers before the Saturday meeting.
Yeah, that's
better. Is that what you're saying? Could that do it?
Yeah, that's better.
And, you know, if they want to put something in writing and send them to an email to us, there's nothing to stop them from doing that.
That's right.
Right, but it wouldn't be a requirement.
Also,
right.
You know, business managers have been a very important part of this process as well. And I would strongly urge, you know, if board members want to get more information,
mm-hmm.
From the local stations, the business managers are also, you know, a font of information about the local station, about finances at the local station. I know throughout the Pacifica system, they're very, very helpful.
Are you suggesting they be on the call, Dale?
Well, I think, you know, if you want to, you know, it's. You know, if you want a finance call about what's happening at the local stations, it's probably useful to have the business managers on the call.
Well, this is Lydia. My purpose in having them on is not even questioning the dilemma as we see it, but is also what do they envision for the future? What are the prospects that they're thinking of? I'm sure if you've been dealing with them that they've come up with some ideas as well, so it's a twofold thing that the business managers might not necessarily be in on the creative portion of that, but
I hope our business managers are.
They know more in some stations than the GM.
Okay.
Lean on them.
So I would be willing. I actually have some days off, which is a miracle, and I would be willing, unless Leslie feels that she would want to do it, or Janice.
I see him every day.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. We have to resolve this question. Right. We have a motion on the floor.
It's been second.
Ask the GMs.
Just take a roll call.
Are we asking them?
Well, wait. Can we have ask secretary to repeat the motion?
The motion made by Lydia was that we ask the general managers to join the call for the first portion of the call. For a Saturday call that's at 9 a.m. West Coast and noon East Coast time. That's the motion, and the rest of it is just discussion that we've had about what different people are going to do.
Can I suggest also the call be on Monday on a working day? That might be easier for everybody.
It's not easier for me because it is a working day.
I know. The problem is not just, I mean, frankly, I am exhausted. I know the general managers, many general managers are exhausted. It's very hard to ask at this time. I know some of our general managers are really need a break.
Dan, I can understand that. I appreciate that. I am totally exhausted. I had planned to do nothing this weekend, right? But you so eloquently put it, we are in a crisis. Mm-hmm. Right? So either we're in a crisis and we have to act like that, or we're not, you know, and we can. So I really think, I mean, I can't do it during the week. I have too many other conference calls and meetings and other things on my plate right now, you know.
Leslie, I'm not trying to be critical, but we are speaking of 10 employees and pulling them off on Thanksgiving weekend.
Five. We're talking about five employees. Good point you make there. And 15 of us who are volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, they are employees. Yes, they get paid to do this work. And it is a crisis. If they can't be on the call, they can't be on the call. We're inviting them. We're not mandating that they must. Otherwise, you know, we're inviting them to be on the call.
Leslie, this is Ray.
Yeah.
I think that if the purpose of postponing these discussions, which I, you know, as Dan pointed out, extremely important in, you know, that we do in a timely fashion, then it is important that we either have them there or have some kind of representation if they cannot be there. Either they would
you're mixing apples and oranges.
Yeah.
The reason why this call is being convened was because we don't have tonight certain information, and based on the recommendation of our executive director, the wise recommendation, that certain things need to be discussed in executive session. That's
so
why we're having
that.
The call.
The point
the general managers
Leslie,
are added.
I was making the point that do it earlier, the better. And therefore, when you say if they cannot make it, that's okay. But I think it would be important if they cannot make it that they would be asked certain questions and put the answer in writing at the very least, so we'd have the information with us when making decisions.
Okay, well, I want to call the question.
Thank you.
I think any general manager who wants to write a memo is free to do so.
Mm-hmm. Lydia, this is Dan. Just one quick question. Do you want changes to the KPFK budget?
I don't want anything other than communication, because if there are layoffs, other layoffs envisioned or whatever, it's the boards and of, you know, both local and national that have to respond to both the listeners and the staff. So I just think we don't want another situation with WBAI where I, for one, although I wasn't on the national board at the time, knew little about the crisis it was envisioning. That's all. Just more information. I don't.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that would be helpful.
There's no reason for you to be so defensive about it. We just want a little bit more information because we're responsible. That's all.
Okay. The question's been called. And that is, the motion was that the GMs be invited to join the Saturday call.
I would also suggest that in terms of logistics, that for example, if Janice is going to the station, that she asks can have some kind of conversation and have the budget people also weigh in.
Yes.
Anybody is free to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Right. And get as much information. Right now, the vote on the table is, or before us, is the general man, or should the general manager be invited to join the Saturday call? Pete?
No.
David?
David seconded it.
I'm sorry, yes.
Carol?
I had to mute on, I had to, sorry.
Carol?
Yes.
George? George, are you there?
No, he hasn't. I don't think he's been here for a while.
Okay, George is not there. Okay, Janice?
Yes.
Teresa?
No.
AC?
Yes.
Am I missing something? Lydia?
Lydia, yes.
And me, yes.
And Ray, I joined late, but I'm still here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ray. Yes,
all right. Me. Absolutely, yes.
Are you a yes? Okay.
Okay, can I ask just a
quick...
So
let me... No, I'm not done. It's 7 yeses, 1 no. That's it. 7 yeses and 1 no.
Okay. 2 no.
2 no. 3
no. Okay, now what are we asking the general manager? I'm going to ask whether the business manager can be there for the call. And what is the other question that Teresa was suggesting?
The other question is for any comments, feedback, thoughts about the budget and the general financial situation, ideas for how to improve the financial situation, et cetera.
Can we move on to...
Yes.
I'm going. I got to go.
We have one more item.
Well, actually, okay, we passed the budgets provisionally, right? We did that unanimously.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, there were these four resolutions that were in the material. Janice, you're at a disadvantage. You don't have the material in front of you, but...
Oh, I got the resolution.
Okay, so should we move? Can we move through them quickly?
Please.
Okay, the first resolution is that the ED and the CFO are empowered to ensure that 1 month's operating reserves are in place for each station each fiscal year. Any comments?
This is Ray. What are the implications of that in terms of the present situation, Dan?
Well, obviously we can't at BAI meet 1 month's operating reserve, but because of the gravity of the situation there. But generally speaking, it reaffirms the board's resolution in September in slightly different language that the national office staff, led by the executive director and the CFO, can require that stations have 1 month's operating reserves in their budgets. It's fairly straightforward.
So moved.
Thank you.
Okay.
Second.
Let me just say, I will vote yes for this as it is worded. I do think that the general managers also should be both empowered but also held accountable for helping to make sure that the 1 month operating reserves are in place. I just want to raise that as a footnote to this. I'm not raising it as a substitute.
Yeah, how about, general managers. I'd like to add them to the list, CFO, ED, and general managers. That is what the structure requires anyway.
And do we need to state that WBAI is exempt from that for the moment, or should that be part of the resolution?
It's implicit, I think.
Okay.
I
yeah.
Well, Ken...
Can we just vote on this? We've been on this call for
I understand.
Hours.
This is an issue that we discuss everything else ad nauseum. We can take a second more for this. I just want to understand clearly. I felt that when I voted for it earlier that I was kind of grappling with straws a little bit. What are the practical implications in terms of BAI being mandated? Do you have any problem, then, with stating that for the present BAI... For the next few months, whatever language you could suggest to us, BAI will be exempt from this requirement.
Well, if you pass the budgets as presented, the budget does exempt the BAI from that requirement.
Which we already did.
All right. The thing is that it says that ED is empowered to require it. He's not. He could actually make an exemption if he had to.
I understand that quite clearly, believe me. I was just suggesting that we include a language that would be exempt.
That's the same thing I just asked Ray, and they said it was implicit. Now,
well, I'm just saying it's not enough for me.
All right. Instead of discussing it, can we just amend the motions?
That's what I'm suggesting now.
A clause at the end saying for this fiscal year, WBAI is exempt.
What about another station that has another problem down the line?
Then we'll have to look at it then.
We'll look at it then.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and are we changing it to include the GMs?
I'm suggesting that we do.
It would be the ED, the CFO, and the general managers are empowered, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. All right. ED, CFO, and GMs empowered, and... WBAI exempt this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so can we move to the vote?
Ready?
Okay.
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
George is on the call. Janice?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
AC?
Yes.
Lydia?
Yes.
Ray?
Yes.
And me, yes. So that's unanimous. Okay, second one is... Resolved, KBSA accumulate 1 month's operating reserves this fiscal year, and that the ED and CFO provide a progress report to the IPNB in 45 days.
As far as KBSA being singled out, this is just the same thing that was in one. I don't understand.
Because their budget doesn't have it. Their budget, when you put in their capital expenses, comes down under the operating reserve, so they want special authority to deal with it. I think it's covered in the first one, too.
And this is Ray. And was the general manager and other people also consulted on this?
You mean on the 1 month operating?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what you see on paper is as far as we got, and we want to go back and have another pass.
They've been working on it, Ray.
Yeah. We want to keep plugging away.
Okay.
Okay, can we call a question?
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah.
Somebody has to move it.
I'm sorry. Can somebody move
this? This is Teresa. I move.
Second resolution. Teresa moves. 2 seconds.
Pete did.
All right.
Okay, let's just do a quick roll call then. Pete.
Yes.
David.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
Janice.
I abstain. It doesn't seem necessary to me.
Okay. Teresa.
Yes.
AC.
Yes.
Lydia.
Yes.
And Ray. Ray?
Yes.
Okay, and myself, yes. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yeses and 1 abstention.
Okay.
Who abstained, by the way?
I did.
Okay.
Janice did. Okay, third one. Resolved, each Pacifica station before January 15th, 2004, review its daytime programming schedule with the goal of having each daytime program be revenue sufficient and financially self-sustaining with a listener base of support. A, the EG will review the progress of each station's self-sustaining plan and report back to the board by January 10th. B, where exceptions are warranted to the self-sustaining requirement due to mission relevance or special circumstances, and a waiver is recommended to the above resolution by the ED, the Board of Directors will specifically grant such waivers based on criteria it may develop.
I'm opposed to this motion. I would reword it to say I'm very eager to have this review.
Yes.
I think it's a very good idea to do it, but I think between now and January 15th it would be impossible to make decisions about which programs might be canceled or taken off the air or to develop criteria to do so. So I'd like to have the review done by January 15th and would propose that as a substitute motion.
Well, I also have problems with this motion. I have problems that it does not include the evening programs. I think evening programs are another potential source of income that are not tapped into. I also, the concern I raised earlier, that even though the intention may not be there, the wording of this, I think, relies too heavily on the use of income the criteria. The criteria are not in place right now, so the language of this, I think, you know, leaves that. And I think point B is too cumbersome. I don't understand how it's going to work around the exceptions and granting the waivers and et cetera. So I have problems with this motion, the way it is, even with the I'm not sure exactly what you were saying, Carol, about your substitute motion.
Well, what I'm saying is that I would like all the stations to do this review, to take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And
themselves?
And you know, it would be great if the board got a copy of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually also uncomfortable with the national board being the body that would grant waivers to local programs.
I can't believe it here.
I think that local programming is primarily, with rare exceptions, a local issue. I don't want to grant waivers to programs at KPFT that I never heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that that's... that the national board should be making local programming decisions. What I do think is a very good...
I agree with that.
What?
I say I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
What I do think is a very good idea here is for all of the stations to do this review so that they're really looking at it and that we get a report back.
I would love to hear from Dan on this.
Well, you know, it's in the Pacifica mission statement. It's not like... the issue of being self-sustaining for programs to be self-sustaining. Obviously, we understand, everybody understands on this call, that some programs, for great reasons, should not necessarily be self-sustaining. But, you know, at this point, Pacifica has one program that holds the whole network up. Democracy Now! That raised about 2.6, maybe even more, 2.7 million. For the network as a whole, cash in the door. can't continue. Pacifica can't continue on this basis. Got to have programs that are going to be self-sustaining, in my view, is particularly during the daytime, because nighttime is different for a variety of reasons. But I would, I hear the concerns that Carol is raising, but I think as a first step, if we could get some kind of recognize that self-sufficiency or self-sustainability is a goal of programs, which is in the Pacifica mission statement, and get some kind of report by January 15th generated from the stations exactly along the lines of what was done at KPFA and what the GM at WBAI is doing now, to look at our programs on the basis of self-sustainability. I think that would be, you know, an important first step, even if this resolution is reworded.
Okay, I'm
going to
make a substitute motion that the GMs between now and January 15th provide the executive director and the board with a report that includes the following: the per-hour funds raised average over the last fiscal for each of their programs between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m., and also in a separate report what it costs to produce.
Did you just take 9 p.m. out of the air?
Because Leslie said evening. I could change. I'm open to any time, but I'm saying 6 a.m. through 9 p.m. We get a per-hour fundraising report per program, average over the last fiscal, or the last four fund drives, including this one that just happened.
Friendly amendment?
Well, can we have some discussion?
And the cost of producing the program. Some programs don't cost anything. Others have four producers that are paid. So we would want to know what this program raises and what it costs.
I'd like to make a friendly amendment. This is Lydia. That we just make it for the whole grid. We have some hot programs that are midnight. Yeah,
sure.
Like Hollywood is there.
That's probably the
whole
best
grid.
Thing.
Okay.
This is Ray. Can I say something?
I'll second that.
Hey. And I have a comment after Ray. It's a quick one.
And maybe start us at then. How do you decide the rentability of a program? I mean, I know during fundraisers, sometimes I'm going to, be involved in my work, and I might be late, and I stop, and I'm listening to something that's extremely important to me. And by the time I'm finishing the evening, I pledge for whatever show sounds interesting to me. And when I really would have preferred to vote, if it was a vote, to give my money earlier in the day. So how do you decide that the amount of money? I'm also thinking about in New York City, there's a show with prisoners, which is excellent, not only in terms of empowering prisoners, but also in terms of allowing us to understand the whole process better, this process of destruction of human beings and damning them that we have. I don't know how much money they're raising. A major part of their constituency are behind bars and living on an extremely limited income. How do we decide the value of that program? I mean, I understand you have a waiver.
It's just, does it cost any money to make?
Well, that I'm more willing to accept.
That's what we're
that's
talking
more
about.
Easily
well,
understandable.
Know, not,
okay, folks, wait a second. Wait, we have an order
have,
here. We have an order.
Have any consequence saying, well, we'll cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
We're just asking for this information, that this
that's
analysis
right.
take place.
No, I understand
okay,
that. I'm just saying,
wait,
how does a general manager... it takes raw data that are just based on many other factors.
We all know that.
Yeah, I'll call a question.
Okay, wait a second. We have AC and Janice both wanted to say something.
Well, Carolyn, I would like to ask if you would consider moving the date back from January 15th, and you too, Dan, because after all, this is people come back from the New Year's about maybe the second or third of the month. Doesn't give them much time to look and review that. So I was just wondering if you could consider moving the date back to...
Well, also be aware we're going into the January drive time.
January drive, yeah. So could it possibly be the end of January?
Can I just clarify something? What exactly are we asking? What we're asking for is, I believe, right, is not an evaluation of each
run a
show.
Report.
We're asking for a list, right,
mm-hmm.
from 6 to 7, from 7 to 8, from 8 to 9, 9 to 10, et cetera. This is what's on the air. This is how much it costs to produce. This is how much income it generates, average. Right? That's what we're asking for, right?
Yes, and the way to do this so that the numbers are meaningful is to take a period, such as a fiscal year or the last four fund drives or something, a year.
Right.
What does it cost to produce this program for a year, and how much money does it raise during the year? Now, this does not imply that we're going to make decisions based on that. It says we're going to get this information. Everybody's going to look at it. And we'll know a hell of a lot more than we did before we started.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the motion before us.
Can I make my
comment?
To get
that kind of report, yes.
Okay. This is Dan.
Yes.
This, the board of directors will specifically grant such waivers. When I can't believe that you're asking this. You would have had a cow when
Janice, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's not in the motion.
Oh, it's
Carol
not in? Okay.
Carol just made a substitute motion. So what we're doing is discussing Carol's motion. We'll vote on that. If that fails, then we go back to the original motion.
Well, may I ask Carol if she could extend the date? That's all I'm talking about. I don't really want to.
I'll tell you, I did this for KPFA, and it took me roughly 8 hours worth of work without the computer.
Okay.
The computer programs are actually programmed to do it, to generate the per-hour fund drive information. So I don't really think it's an onerous burden to do it.
I don't think it is. This is Teresa in Houston. I think we've already done that. I heard Otis and Dwayne shared some of that information with me the other day. We've already done it.
Okay, so I don't really think this it's a big burden, and I don't want to extend it.
Okay, so if there are no other comments, then we should call question.
Okay.
So
I made the motion. Who's
could you read it?
Lydia seconded. I'm just trying to make my notes clear. General manager by January 15th shall provide the executive director and the board of directors with a report of the per hour income generated by each program in the grid over the last four fund drives, and the annual cost to produce each program.
Okay. All right. So, Pete?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Aisley?
Yes.
Lydia?
Yes.
Ray?
Abstain.
Abstain, and myself, yes. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yeses and 1 abstention. Okay.
Leslie, if I may, this is Dave. I have to depart. I'm glad that at least Los Angeles, I should say Southern California, will remain to be represented. Thank you, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone else.
Goodbye, Dave. Okay, one more resolution, and then we can all say goodnight. And that is the core recovery plan for WBAI. Presented in meetings with WBAI management, staff, union officials, is to be implemented by the ED, the CFO, and the WBAI general manager if local revenue generating efforts do not produce funds needed to sustain the station.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Who
moved
the second?
What?
Pete.
What?
Okay. Any comments here?
Yeah, what does that mean? Explain that, please.
Which boss?
Well, what it means is that in meetings with WBAI staff and the GM there and the union folks, we agreed upon a plan. That plan was that given the financial situation at WBAI, that the funds were going to be running out December 31st. What we did is we implemented a two-pronged plan, and the two-pronged plan was that we would issue layoff notices pending revenue-generating efforts by the staff and by the community. We would meet on December 1st, and it's in the presentation that's attached, and look at whether or not those revenue-generating efforts and other ideas were going to bear fruit by that December 31st deadline. If not, we would proceed with the layoffs that were on the table and identified by the GM, Don had said these are the core staff that he felt he needed to run the station. And other staff would be laid off pending the revenue. If the revenue was not forthcoming, then we'd move ahead to reduce the expenditures for the station to match the revenue that had been identified.
This is Ray.
Yes.
The language you say is presented in meetings with management, staff, union officials. And you're saying that that actually means that they agreed to them.
No, that wasn't the agreement. It was actually the union people did not want to agree to any layoffs. At least they certainly didn't want to sign off on the plan. The general manager, however, basically stated that this is what we needed to do given the finances, and that those finances were based on revenue available.
I understand. So in this case, presented actually means presented. The response to that is varied.
Yeah, that was varied, but they're continuing, as you know, conversations going on a continuous basis. We get back together on December 1st and have another look at it.
Can you tell us how many people would be laid off?
Well, at this point, the list is 14 staffers out of 26.
Because I had heard a higher number earlier.
Oh, really?
Ray, it's actually 14 FTEs, which may turn out to be a little bit higher, full-time equivalents, than 14, pending. I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but something roughly along those lines.
I've heard 18 people. It totals.
Yeah.
Some of them are part-time, though, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's what it's full-time. And are you feel at liberty to discuss any of the positions that the objection the union had?
I haven't been meeting with Lonnie and I, at least, have not been meeting with the union over the last week since we've been in California, but I'm sure the union will have some concerns, principally around seniority and affirmative action criteria in terms of determining the reduction in force, though, so that may very well be an issue.
Could I ask one thing, Dan?
I had one more question.
When
we were setting our own priorities, when we were determining who the core staff was or were, it's my second language, or third, did you include those criteria besides, I'm assuming that an engineer when in the station would be extremely important, but did you also include seniority and other apps, and affirmative action?
Yeah, I'm sure that's principally a local management issue, but certainly those factors would have been considered or are being considered, yes.
Carol?
I just wanted to comment that it is, I believe, an FCC regulation that we have an engineer on the premises at all times.
Somebody signed the log.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got the engineers that are still in the core staffing patterns there.
Yeah, so I'm just wanting, this isn't part of the motion, it's just me blabbing, saying I'm sure somebody's looked at it to make sure that the core staff that remains will be able to cover that FCC requirement.
I think so.
Yes.
Well, this is Teresa. May I get on the stack?
Yeah, go on.
I think we have volunteer engineers for the middle of the night.
That's fine.
I do have one question. On the current projected income, under website/folio, Inc., you have 90K. Does that?
Where are you?
I'm looking at the finance report of WBAI. Can you just tell me? You're talking about the website generating income specifically for WBAI and the folio generating income? You expect them to generate 90K?
Yes, we do. Just 1 week earlier this month, BAI generated about $10,000 off its website, so we think that's a realistic projection for next fiscal, and it's based on some actuals over the last 10 months.
Okay. Is that due to Pete Caracas' work, or do you have a really good webmaster at the station that this is?
I think Pete has probably been working, helping out in some capacity there, but my understanding, I think, is they have a web operation.
That's correct.
Obviously, their website is fantastic, I think, if you've looked at it. But,
okay.
I think all sorts of people help out with that.
I just wanted to be sure. Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions about this resolution that is to basically sign off on the core recovery plan?
I just have one question, Dan. Maybe it could be explained.
Whoa.
Have you all considered what this means, the political implications of laying people off on just before Christmas? I mean, what kind of impact do you think that might have on listeners who see this as, I understand we have a necessity to do that, but has that been weighed?
Yeah, I think obviously there's been a lot of discussions going back to early October, both within the station, with the broader community, but certainly since late October, early November, when the fund drive results were pretty clear. So over the last three or four weeks or so, there's been a lot of intensive discussions with management, staff, et cetera. And the key issue here is what we're talking about is a restructuring of the station in order to, in one financial sense, to that the station lives within its means and operates along the basis of the income that it generates. So all sorts of different aspects of that question at BAI have been discussed and been addressed in a lot of different ways. But a reform package, a reform plan with programming changes, changes in the development department, changes in the way finances is being done, controls being put into place, are being implemented as we speak, a whole restructuring of the station.
Well, the one thing I wanted to add to that is that I think there is a political question here. It seems to me that there ought to be some way of informing the listeners in a way that's creative, in a way that's humane, in a way that, you know, put forward the necessity for this, so that we could possibly avoid having a reaction to this.
Yeah, I know Don has been very active in getting out statements and press releases and talking to media and going on the air and explaining the point of view from the station management, and he's been extremely proactive, working as hard as he can, and I think really doing a brilliant job, I have to say. I mean, Don has been absolutely fantastic in rising to this challenge. Got to remember, these are managers. There's two managers at that station. Got about 200 producers, probably about 2,000 to 3,000 unpaid staff going through that station every year. Two people responsible. An extraordinary challenge to manage WBAI, and especially in the last 6 or 8 weeks. In fact, extraordinary challenge to manage any Pacifica station. It is remarkable, and I know the pressure, the strain that we all are going through, and, you know, we're having sleepless nights, tossing and turning, as many, I think, on the board are about the situation at BAI. This is the worst part of our job, but we're, Don and others, you know, we're thinking of the future of the station and trying to put what is in the best interest of the station, what is in the best interest of the network first. That's what's guiding our decision-making and our responsibility to the network to ensure the fiscal solvency of BAI and, indeed, the broader Pacifica Radio Network. Don and I and Lonnie and the finance staff there are looking at every opportunity, any way that we can get around this situation. The staff have been rising to the occasion. I know Janice and Ray have been working very hard. We're all trying to find solutions to this problem. The bare reality that we're looking at is, as Lonnie said, is, hey, you're going to be running. We're going to be running out of money. It's not a. It's just, you know, there's just a financial reality. It's not like we're moving, you know, upping and moving to. You know, southern China in search of super profits. We're just trying to maintain the community radio station, let it keep going. So we're trying to find all alternatives, working, you know, evenings and weekends to try to find out any way that we can avoid the reduction in staff at the station. But if necessary, We may have to implement that plan. Hopefully it won't be, but right now the reality is it's looking like we're going to have to do that, because the problem isn't just a $200,000 problem or a $400,000 problem. It's a $1.1, $1.2, $1.3, $1.4 million problem, depending on how you look at it. That's a lot of money, and we need to act fairly decisively within a relatively short period of time. That's why we're asking for your support on this resolution.
Let me just say one quick thing. I will vote yes on this, but I must say I'm not thrilled with this core recovery plan in terms of its lack of detail. And for me, it's not just about the staff issue. That is obviously a very big one. But things like reorganize development and premiums, I don't know what that means. I don't know what the plan is to reorganize it. Rethink programming, I don't know what that means. There's a number of things here that are just, they're the chapter headings, but the text is not there. So I will vote for it because I have a confidence in the executive director, the CFO, and the general manager, and the team of people at the station, paid staff, non-paid programmers, lab members, listener activists, the whole team of folks in and around the station, I trust that they are putting their best thinking forward and that this plan reflects that. But I must say the plan itself, as I see it, in black and white in front of me, doesn't have a lot of meat on the bones here. I just wanted to say that before I vote yes for it. So are there other comments, or can we move to a vote? Oh, we need somebody to make a motion. Or did we get that?
I moved and Pete seconded.
Okay, I got that. Are there any other comments? Then let's vote. Pete?
Yes.
David? Oh, David left. Carol?
Yes.
George left. Janice?
I abstain.
Teresa?
Yes.
AC?
Well, come to me last. I'm going to think about it.
Okay, we'll come to you again. Lydia?
Abstain.
Ray?
I vote no.
No. I vote yes. And then AC?
Yeah, I think for the political reason that I cited, I know that this is, in politics, this is a very dangerous thing to do. So, but yet and still, I understand what Nan is saying. He has to make moves. But given
the
fact...
What are you voting?
I'm going to vote abstain, I think.
Abstain. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 yeses, and 1, 2, 3 noes.
No.
I mean, 3 abstentions and 1 no. So I think that doesn't carry.
It does. It doesn't.
Does not. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2.
It carries
three,
by
it
a
carries.
Vote of 4-1. Abstentions do not count. Yeah, unless you want to change your vote, you can't.
I'm sorry. Okay, abstentions do not count. That's right. So it does count. I mean, it does carry. By a vote of 4-1. Okay. Then I think that is the business of this meeting.
Okay.
Leslie, who is going to send the letters to the GMs to get them on the call on Saturday?
To invite them. I will send them an email.
Hey, you should send it to me, Leslie.
Okay, I'll send it to you. And you'll pass it along. Fine.
And since I will not be available really at a... I'll send an email to Dan to send me the material. I'll call in to get the telephone number.
Okay, I think it'll be the same number as you used tonight. Right, Dan?
Yeah, we could have the same number.
But they
change
the access code, don't they?
No.
No, not with
same
this new
code,
system.
Same
yeah.
Number? Okay. Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Motion
okay.
To adjourn.
Thank you, everybody.
Wait, Leslie, yeah. I need to know what information it is that the board is requesting for the Saturday meeting on the national office budget.
We're asking staffing out positions and salaries.
Individual salary information?
Per position, yes.
Is that for every station?
No.
I actually did want it for all the stations, too. But, yes.
Okay.
That's
again, this is extremely confidential information. That's why we're having the conversation about this in executive session.
And does that mean even allusions to it in emails?
Yes.
Yeah.
Please.
Right.
What
right.
we need is to see how much it costs to run these stations and to run the national in salaries functionally. I don't want the name of the person. I'm not interested in their name. I want to know what their job title is and what their salary is.
Are you talking about all stations now?
Yeah, that's what we asked for it in March. It's been it's very significant to monitoring how we're running our stations, whether we're expanding staff. You know, to know whether or not we have in the budget authorized the hiring of a public affairs director. If it's not in the budget, we didn't authorize it. And,
well,
the KPFA leaks this information in confidence.
What's
that? It has never been leaked. And I really am unable to carry out my duties without that information. And especially now, I think it's crucial. And at the national level, we don't know what we're funding. We don't know what we're funding.
And this is Lydia. I'd just like to also add, given that we have posted most of the positions, we've had such a turnover, most people know. I mean, it's not, I think it's obviously to remain confidential, but you know, it's not like this super, super secret that no one knows, because we post it when we put our...
Right.
I don't know how it used to happen, but when I first came to Pacifica, it was public knowledge about the salaries, I think.
Right.
I don't know what happened, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's a job posted on the KPFA web page right now with the salary right up there. This
exactly.
is not...
Let me just explain to you some of my concerns. Because general managers... uniformly, unions, staff members, very opposed, have asked me not to release the salary information, individual salary information, to the board. They've asked me that. That's one thing. So there's real staff concerns. As I wrote in an email yesterday or today, I can't remember, within the context of the faction fighting around Pacifica, people view this as
ammunition.
The prelude to being fired or targeted or ousted. So there's staff concerns about that. Other staff concerns are just that this is confidential, private confidential information. They just don't want their salary banded about by board members, whether publicly or privately. So these are the concerns that I'm getting from staff members. And for me, what would be particularly helpful would be if there would be just a standalone board resolution on this matter that GMs or staff members, maybe even the GMs could weigh in on that point on Saturday and express some of their reservations that they've expressed to me on the question of the disclosure of individual salary information on that call. That could be particularly useful, so you all get a sense of where those concerns are coming from.
I said that what I said about how it used to be that salaries were public knowledge, but again, it wasn't the same environment we're in now, where things are being used to take people out almost. And I certainly share Dan's concerns,
yeah.
And I was,
yeah.
frankly, I was glad to see him, I'm surprised and glad to see him,
yeah.
him express it, because things are being used against people.
Give me the different kinds of chicken.
Well, that's not my intent in asking for this information. I asked for it last March. We passed a resolution last March that we would get it.
Well, I can understand him being concerned.
And I do understand the concerns, and the concerns don't change my mind. I've served on nonprofit boards. This is information that boards need and get. And I understand that people feel that this is extremely confidential. And
well, I
and
think it, they
I
don't serve
my,
in the same kind of atmosphere we're in. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I understand that this is extremely confidential and sensitive information, and I intend to treat it that way. And I trust everyone else on this board to do the same.
Well,
but
frankly,
I really
Carol, I think he's directing it to you.
Well, you can think what you like, Janice. I want this information, and if I don't get it, I'll get a court order for it.
And there you
because
go, threatening again. What kind of atmosphere is that?
Because Janice got a script about producing something that we've passed a resolution that we would get, and it's not possible for me or anybody else on this board to tell how we're spending our money, what we're funding. What are we funding when we approve the budget? We don't know.
I'm sorry, AC.
Yes.
I think that's you. We're hearing your other conversation.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just ordering something to eat there.
Okay, well, that's fine. Then just go away from
me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, folks, you know, I don't know what we can do. It's 10:45. We've been on this call now for almost whatever number of hours that is. I think we really need to end this. We voted earlier to have an executive session on Saturday with this information.
Yeah.
So I don't know why we're having this conversation again now.
Right. To reiterate that we should keep our mouths shut.
Right.
Yes. Okay. I think.
Goodbye.
Does anybody not understand the confidentiality issue here? Because if everybody understands it, then we can end this meeting.
Okay.
Catch you all later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
The chairperson has disconnected. The conference will now end.